I love our church.
Yes.
Yeah, that's worth it. So let me close in prayer.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I know where you live. We get to hear about lives of service. We get to hear granddaughters pray. And we get to hear a wonderful praise band each Sunday that brings their gifts. And I know I say that, but now that I have hearing aids, I truly mean it. It's a whole different ballgame. Let's start with a story from God's holy word. It's a true story, obviously. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana of Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples, they had been invited to the wedding. Now, when the wine ran out, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." Jesus said, "Dear woman, why do you involve me? My time has not yet come." And she goes to the servants and says, "Do what he tells you." Now, standing nearby were six stone water jars, the kind that the Jews used for ceremonial washing. Each contained 20 to 30 gallons of water. Jesus told the servants, "Fill these jars with water." And they did so. He then said, "Some of you draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." And they did. Now, the master of the banquet tasted the water, which had now turned into wine. And he didn't realize where it had come from. But the men or the servants who had drawn it, they knew. So the master of the banquet, he goes and gets the bridegroom and takes him aside and said, "Everyone always brings out the finest wine first and saves the cheaper wine for later when everybody's had too much to drink. But you have saved the finest until now." It's good to hear God's word. And that story is from John. But let's go ahead and read it together. Be up on your screen or you read from your Bibles or your apps. You have no excuse. There's so many ways to read God's word now. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from the 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." This was the first of the miraculous signs Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their trust or their faith in him. Can you imagine being at that wedding? Have you ever thought about how wonderful that would be, that one moment in time to be a part of Jesus' life? Mary was there. The disciples were there. It was a time of celebration, a time of love, a time of joy. It was a time that I would just really have wanted to have been one of the servants. I would like to have been the servant that poured that water and then drew it back out and it turned into wine. How would you react? What would you think? It would be very cool just to be a part of this. But have you ever wondered why Jesus chose at that time to have his first public miracle, and in that way? Why that miracle? It's a good question, isn't it? I mean, he could have just started off with feeding 5,000. He could have raised somebody from the dead. He could have done any number of things. Instead, he chose to start this way. And at this time, it always made me think, he had told his mother, "Dear woman, it's not my time. Why do you involve me?" But at some point, he decided to. I can't answer why he chose that miracle. Now, it wasn't some starter miracle, changing water to wine, something simple. He didn't need to do something simple. All things had been created through him. So everything was possible. You could have stepped out and found that the Sea of Galilee had been turned to wine, just as easy. So one thing I do know is that this was the appropriate miracle at the appropriate time, and he was completely in the will of his Father. Because Jesus said, "That's what I do. I watch my Father and I do what he does." Now, I'm sure it was great that he helped out this couple. Jewish weddings were huge. They lasted for a week. Hospitality was the name of the game. People wanted to always show their best for their weddings. I know in my case, I've had two daughters and two weddings. And great times of joy. I asked my wife one time after the first one, "How much did that cost?" Yeah. You don't want to know. After the second one, "Hey, how?" Nope, you don't want to know. So I asked recently, this has been years ago, and so I've asked recently. She said, "Still, you don't want to know." These weddings were huge in the life of not only the couple, but in the lives of the families as they brought these two families together. So this embarrassment would have been unthinkable. Unthinkable. So Jesus took care of that problem. He also was obedient to his mother, right? Because she said, "Do what he tells you." And she had gone to him with the problem. But he would not have done this at all, unless he was within the will of his Father. I thought about in this study about water throughout the story of God. You know, it starts with the Spirit of God hovering over the waters of the depth. And then he speaks, and water completely complies and divides up to where there's land. When it came time for Noah and for the destruction of the world, water came up from the springs of the depths and poured for 40 days and 40 nights from the skies and ended at just the right time. When it came time to let the Hebrew children go, the Nile and the waters of Egypt turned to what? Blood. When it came time to rescue the children of Israel, when they were trapped along the river, God parted the sea. I'm sorry, not the river, the sea. And at just the right time, when they had gotten across and Pharaoh's army was chasing them, what happened? The water collapsed. Jesus, asleep in the back of a boat. Storms rocking the waves. And his disciples are scared to death. And they wake him up. "Don't you care? Don't you care what's happening to us?" He simply says, "Be still." And the waves are still. When it came time to walk on the water, Jesus walks. I wish I was as obedient as water. We have no excuse, none. Now, we are made up of, what, 60% water, so we got that going for us. We are made in God's holy image. We're indwelled with His Holy Spirit. I'm trying to find the wiggle room here where we get to have our will. If you can think of it, let me know. I've been looking at it for a long time and trying to find it. So what makes us not just rush into His will each day? Why isn't our joy? Why do we continue to live our lives too often in our will? Think about it in your own heart. Let God's Spirit speak to you. Why don't we serve with joy and gladness all the time? It's a hard question. Very hard for me. But we do know this, that we can live those lives through living out His Word, through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have this. He's given it to us. So what do we need to do? I know it gets old because pastors teach this day in and day out. Study God's Word and fall in love with it and listen to God's Holy Spirit as He'll tell you. I always use references to law enforcement because that was half my adult life. So that's kind of where I go. But we have codes of law that we had to learn, to penal code, the alcoholic beverage code, the drug laws, the traffic laws. And you had to know those in order to enforce them. You can't just make them up as you go along. Well, that really hacked me off. So you, sir, are now incarcerated. That's not the way it works. We also had a code that taught us how, it was called the Code of Criminal Procedures. It was how to implement the law. God's Word is our law. And the Holy Spirit is our Code of Criminal Procedures. So that we can always know that we're living the right way in His Word. The Holy Spirit's never going to tell you, ever, to do something counter to His Word. He'll only amplify it and make it wonderful as you see it come alive in your life. The first thing I think to do, and I wish I was better at doing this and more disciplined, is turning to God's Word, the book of James. Chapter 1. Thank y'all. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. How many times do you pray, I need your wisdom. I need your wisdom now. I'm facing this health issue, this relationship issue, this work issue, this issue with my child. Or a combination of things. I need your wisdom in this, because obviously I don't have it. Wouldn't it be better to have God's wisdom than yours? I checked, and I'm not omnipotent, and I'm not omniscient, I'm not omnipresent. I like to think I am sometimes, but I'm not. How many of you are control people? You like controlling situations. Yeah. See some hands and some smiles and some nudges. Yeah, I'm that way. It's miserable because you can't control. But I do know who is in control. And I do know who to go get the wisdom from. So why don't you start your day praying for the wisdom of God? Then there's a catcher to it. Look over in chapter 1, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So I can ask God for His will, and I can see it in His word, and I can read it, I can memorize it, I can preach it. But if I don't live it, what good is that? Let me tell you something else that's really cool. When you follow this, applying God's wisdom, God's word, through the power of the Holy Spirit into your daily life, and you see how it moves, oh my, your faith grows. You realize He did it. He did it. And not me. I can't tell you how many times I've had a great idea for the Lord in ministry. I mean, just a great plan. Great plan. It was brilliant. Flopped miserably. But some of the things that happened from that flop turned out to be wonderful. Wonderful. And your faith grows and grows and grows. I am not really good at learning God's word and memorizing it and keeping like verse so-and-so of chapter so-and-so, book and verse, I guess. I really struggle with that. And I've shared with y'all before, I had a friend that is adept at it, is wonderful, and knows exactly when to bring those scriptures up when there's a loss or people are hurting. And I finally told her, "You make me so mad. You just make me sick. You just know the right..." She goes, "Well, it's kind of a gift. I spend time memorizing it, and then God brings it up through His Holy Spirit when I need it." Ouch. As one of the chaplains of the police department, sometimes they call me out to give messages, death messages. And one of the things I do is en route, as I pray for God's wisdom. Because I don't know the situation I'm facing usually, very few details. And I know I am not adequate. I'm certainly not adequate. And my words are not. But you turn to Him when you're desperate for His wisdom. And it's always amazing to see how that flows during those situations. And when it does, my faith increases and increases. Seek God's will. Seek His wisdom. Seek His word. And seek Him in prayer. As you do, that growing in faith is that relationship that you're growing with Him as you go. And He's growing with you. He wants to spend that time with you. He wants to spend every moment of your life with you. You are valuable to Him. So how much more valuable should He be to us? The thing about praying continually as you go is you remember what Jesus remembered. Jesus remembered why He was here. John 3:16 had shown up. He stayed focused on the main thing, Life's messy and busy. Life can be hard, can be joyful. But if you remember who you are, you're God's children. Remember, it's a who's your daddy moment, right? If my focus is on Him, then everything else gets better. It may still be hard, it may still be rough, but it gets better. Let's go back to John chapter 2 and look at the situation they faced. I already told you that Mary was concerned because the wine had run out, and she knew that this would be a great embarrassment. She knew that it would be hard on this family. So what was her solution? Did she try to organize it better, get a new master of the banquet, provide the wine? Nope. What'd she do? She went to Jesus. That's what we're to do. We're to take everything in our lives and go to Jesus. He is our first and last. He is every answer to every solution to every problem. Mary, I love it. She said to the servants, what'd she say? Do what He tells you to do. Now, did she know what He was going to do? No, there's no evidence of that. She just trusted that He was going to do what was right. Don't you love Mary? I mean, I really would like to hang out with Mary. That would have been awesome. But she knew. She knew who He was. She knew what He was capable of. If Jesus could die and redeem somebody like me, then He's capable of anything.
Amen.
That was too loud of an amen. I want to encourage you to, this week, look at your week differently than you have. Start it off by praying for His wisdom. Bury yourself up in God's holy word. Listen. Even though we have hearing aids, we can still hear that small voice. He's always willing to help you in those situations. In our life group this week, we talked about, is there anything we can't bring before God? And the answer scripturally is no. That's where we're to bring it. So if you're faced with something this week, a challenge that you don't really have any answer to, take it to Him. Listen to see how He responds, and then you will learn how to respond to other people in similar situations. What He's done for you, you do for other people. He shows up for you, you show up for them. Showing up during the hard times. Showing the love of God through service. We need to be more like water. Flowing, life-giving, picture of who God is, to be that kind of obedient. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as the praise band comes forward. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the opportunity that we have to always come to You. Father, let us be Your people. Let us be like Your Son Jesus, who's always watching You and always obedient to Your calling. Father, if there's someone here who needs to know You, let it happen now. Father, we thank you. Ask a blessing on each one gathered here in your name, on their life. Give them opportunities to serve you this very week. And it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said,
amen.
If you need to pray, the altar's open.